And what I hope that this will do is that it will give you a different perspective, you know. And this actually kind of reminds me of, there was a vision that I shared before, but there was a vision that I had years ago, and it's like I saw this woman in a cage, and she was in a cage, but this is what's interesting though. It was like a big, large cage, but the door of the cage was wide open. It was wide open, but she was complaining that she was stuck. Like she felt like she couldn't go anywhere or do anything, but yet the door was open and she was sitting in the cage, standing in the cage, feeling stuck, feeling like she couldn't break through, but the door was open. And so what does that mean? That revelation, it's showing that a lot of times the breakthrough or the hindrance is really in our mind, like, and we don't see the path, you know, we can't see it even though it's right in front of us. And so it does require a shift in our thinking. That's why it's so important to renew your mind. It does require a shift in our thinking, because some of you believe that you're stuck, but it's a mirage. It's not true. You believe everything around you is telling you that. And so your behaviors, your words are supporting that belief. And that's why you feel like you can't break through. But in reality, there are some very specific things that needs to change for you to see the manifestation, right? The manifestation of the breakthrough, the manifestation of the deliverance, and et cetera. So I'm going to give you 5 reasons why you can't break through. And once, if you apply, nothing's an overnight process, but if you apply each of these things to your life, you will see a change. You will see a difference. It won't be just you always asking for a miracle, always wondering when this is going to move, and et cetera. But there's something more that has to happen. All right. So here's the first one. All right. Here's the first one. Number one is identity crisis. All right. Identity. The first one is identity crisis. So what does this mean? So meaning that there's a mismatch between who you think you are and who you really are. Say that one more time. There is a mismatch between who you think you are and who you really are. Like as far as like, what was the original intended purpose that God had for your life when you came out into the earth? So there's and it could be everything from the career that you do, like it affects everything you end up doing, right? It affects the career choices, right? So for example, here's a very simple analogy. If let's say I grow up in an environment and I see a lot of farmers everywhere. And so, and whether maybe I was raised in a farming land, or I went on a trip and I saw farmers. And so I now, you know what, like, I really believe I'm a farmer. Like, I know I'm a farmer. And so this is a very simple analogy. And so then I begin to get farming land, and I go through that process, whatever that looks like, because I wouldn't know. But I go through that process to become a farmer. And it's a lot of challenges and issues, et cetera, that I experience. But I go through the process, and then boom, I become a farmer. And so now it's like a few years down the line, I'm a farmer, but my crops aren't growing, or I'm not satisfied, or my marriage isn't working. Like things are just not, things are okay, but it's not really ideal. And so but I believe I'm a farmer, right? And so that's why, and that's what it is. But what if when God conceived me and brought me to the earth, I'm actually supposed to own land. I'm actually supposed to be in the construction business. I'm actually supposed to have architectural land in different spaces. What if, and the farming was honestly just a principle. The farming was honestly just an example, to help me navigate me and give me what that looks like on a bigger scale, so I can eventually see on a bigger scale. Right? So you see what I mean? So now I'm a farmer, but I'm not supposed to be a farmer. I'm actually supposed to be in construction. I'm supposed to own the land, not toil it. Right? I'm supposed to, and on that land, I'm supposed to build property and et cetera, and build crops, and I'm supposed to own avocado lands, and I'm supposed to own, like, but I was not called to be the farmer. Right? And so now there's a mismatch between who I think I am, right? That's giving me the fruit of my life, and who I was originally intended to be. That's an example of what I mean by that. And so this is one of the things, is that you have to, this part is kind of, it's not hard actually. Let me say it's not hard, because but it requires humility. Because only a humble person will come to the Lord and really ask, God, is this, am I doing the right thing? Or what do I believe about myself that's not true? Like only a humble person will ask that. Most people say, no, I'm good, right? So that's one of the things, is that there's a mismatch in some capacity. It doesn't have to be extreme, right? Like for example, I want to be in the circus, right? I'm in the circus, but I'm supposed to work a corporate job, so like that, right? Doesn't have to be something extreme, but the point I'm making is that there is some type of discrepancy in what you believe about yourself and what you're really supposed to be. And a lot of times, trauma, people, parents, the Bible we read is done, it cultivated who we think we are, which is not true. And we ran with that. And now we're living and experiencing the fruit of that. Okay? So this is the thing, is like there's an identity, and I strongly believe a lot of people are experiencing this. And so you have to begin to think, okay, where do I, what the beginning process of this, oftentimes like you may be very shocked by who the Lord, who what God really called you to be, or you may be very shocked, excuse me, by what your potential is, et cetera. So like, what if, for example, you love cooking, but you only cook for your family and they rave about your food, but you don't believe that you're supposed to actually like own like a restaurant or something. I'm not saying it has to all be entrepreneurial, but the point I'm making is that a lot of times we're not thinking too big, we're not thinking big enough, and sometimes there's elements and gifts and talents that we have that we're just not utilizing. We're just not utilizing. So there's an so one of the reasons why you can't break through is that there's an identity crisis, and this is why you have to work on your affirmations and what you tell yourself and et cetera. Like even for example, my students that's watching this, my graduates, nursing graduates that can't pass their NCLEX, and you took it in multiple times, and you're like, God, what's up with this? Like, why am I still here? And there's different Now, there's different reasons, which I'm going to go over, but one of them is that, and hear that, hear with my heart. Don't take it personally and don't take it like it's an attack. But you have not embodied the character of being a nurse yet. Hear what I'm saying today. For some of you that have been trying to pass your NCLEX and you're not passing it, the reason why you can't pass your RN exam yet, the reason why you can't pass your LPN exam yet, the reason why you can't pass your NP exam yet, whatever test that is, and you took it more than once, right? You have not embodied or taken fully the mindset of a nurse in that degree. Maybe you've been an LPN for years, but you have not taken on the mindset of the RN truly. Maybe you've been a CNA for years, but you have not taken on the mindset truly of being an LPN. And so you put in the efforts, read, study, do some flashcards, but you have not taken on the characteristics of that nursing role. It's not in you yet. It's not in you yet. Because think about it. Think about the difference. Like, I could come on here and tell you how to be a mother. I could go and literally, and I'm not a mother yet. I could go and study motherhood. I could go and get a book about motherhood, how to become a mother, what mothers do, blah, blah, blah. And I could study it. I could read about motherhood. And I could come on here and tell you this is what motherhood is. It's, work, sacrifice, blah, blah, blah. It's raising a child, blah, blah, blah. I could study it. I could read it. I could memorize everything I need to know about motherhood. And then, but then, when I have a child of my own that came out of me, oh, and that I raised, then that's a whole, no, I understand, now I really understand what happened to my body when something was grown on the inside of me. Now I really understand what it means to push when I don't feel like pushing no more. Now I truly understand what sacrifice daily truly means as a mother. See, I could study motherhood and tell you what motherhood is, but until I actually became a mother, that's when I truly embody the characteristic of motherhood. And so the issue for some of you that can't pass your boards is that you're studying the test, you're studying the information, the content, etc., but you have not taken on the mindset of that role you want to work in. You haven't, right? You have not fully, you have not embraced it as your own. You're just, things are kind of robotic, the way that you're approaching it, very linear, versus it being, if I was a nurse, how would that make me feel? What would I do if this patient had this episode? How would I respond? What if I saw this in front of you right now? Like, you have not thought about the day-to-day, moment-by-moment, case-by-case situation versus just memorizing everything and doing a bunch of questions. And that's why you can't break through, because you haven't taken on that person first. You gotta look like what you desire before it really comes into your life. Trust me, I know. So this is one of the things too, is that the reason why you cannot break through is you have the wrong identity. So just put in the comments right now, God, help me with my identity. Put in the comments right now, God, help me with my identity. Amen. Because your identity, if you had the right identity, you would have left that toxic relationship by now. If you had the right identity, you wouldn't be with that man. You know he's not, you know he's not here, he's not for you, but you're afraid of being alone. You're afraid you won't get something better. Right? You're afraid that this is the best that you can get because you told yourself that you're either not beautiful, you're not smart, you're not worth it, etc. So you have an identity crisis, beloved. Right? The reason why your business hasn't made the amount of money you wanted to make,
You have identity crisis. You're not a business owner yet. No, you got the LLC. You filed for the LLC. You paid the website. Absolutely, right? You started the business plan, but you haven't taken on the character of the business owner. You haven't taken on the mindset of a seven-figure, a six-figure, eight-figure person yet. And so that's why you can't break through. It's all in your mind. That's number one, identity crisis. Number two, I hope you're taking notes, right? Comment below as well. Number two is self-hatred. Ooh, that sounds like a very strong word. Self-hatred. Some of you, the reason why you can't break through is that you don't love yourself that much. You hate yourself. There's an element of yourself that you really don't like, right? That's why people can easily break you down. That's why people can tell you something about yourself and you believe it. That's why you respond to people calling you out of your name. You respond to the attack. In reality, it shouldn't even bother you because you know who you are. So sometimes the reason why you're not breaking through is that you don't love yourself enough. You don't. You don't love yourself enough, right? Do you think Oprah Winfrey, you think she would have been where she is today if she hated herself as much as different networks, people, anchormen told her who she was? No, she had to love herself to the level that she's at today. So self-affirmations is not a bunch of junk. It's not a waste of time. It's real, it's actually real. And so you have to be intentional every day. Like you have to say out loud who you really are until you believe it. But just say out loud who you are. I am a dynamic woman. I am more than capable. Whatever I can handle, what comes my way, it always works out for me. Blessings is taking over my life all the time. I am smart. I'm well equipped. I am well able. I am beautifully, fearfully, and wonderfully made. Anything you have to begin to declare, whatever you feel the most attacked in, that's where you need to tell yourself the most amount of affirmations. Wherever you feel the most attacked in is where you need to like flood your brain, your ear with affirmations, right? So that's number two, is there's a level of self-hatred. There's a level around you where it's like, it's hurting you, okay? Number three, okay? Oh, and let me mention this too while we're here. I have a book, all right? This is a book right here. It's called Moving Into a Mind of Abundance, all right? I wrote this book because I wanted to write a book that reflected shifting in the mind, shifting in the belief, you know, and really having an abundant mindset, you know? And so this book, there's deliverance, there's power attached to the reading of this book. It's going to shift your thinking, your mindset. You take on the a different ideology as far as like your belief system. This book is going to bless you. It's available on Amazon, or you can go to my website, nursetoma.com/books. All right. This is it right here. Moving into a mind of abundance. Right. And so the book is really going to help you to take on a different belief. I also put in the book, I put exercises, okay, to help you walk through the things I recommend in the book, okay? So you can go to Amazon to get it. I think it's like on sale right now, actually. Or you can go to my website, nursetoma.com/books. nursetoma.com/books. Click either up or below this video for more information. Okay, Here's the third reason why you can't break through. Here's the third reason why. You're surrounded. Hear what I'm saying today. You are surrounded. Here's what I mean by you're surrounded. Meaning that the enemy is against you, right? There is an enemy, a spiritual enemy that doesn't want you to win. And for some people experience greater affliction than others, depending on whatever their mantle is, or than what they feel they can handle. But some people are literally experiencing warfare, you know, affliction, demonic injustice, you know, and so you are surrounded. There is a spiritual enemy working behind the scenes to keep you from breaking through, to keep you from going to the next level. That's why the moment you try to do something, boom, all of a sudden things begin to go haywire. All of a sudden things begin to be more challenging, more difficult than what you're used to. There is an enemy working behind the scenes to make it difficult for you. But here's the thing though, when you are a child of God and when you believe that God is able to see you through, then you have, now you can walk and operate in faith. See, this is, I realize the lie that we've been told, or that we have not really been put in front of us, is that we were told to have faith, but we weren't told the reason why we needed the faith. Let's say that one more time. We were told, oh, have faith, have faith, have faith. But we weren't given an accurate explanation of why we needed the faith in the first place. And the faith is literally your sword of spirit. It's the word of God. But it's literally your ability to fight against the opposition, which is the enemy. And so a lot of times we're not aware that, like, if you imagine being in a boxing ring, when you go into a boxing ring, there's somebody that's there against you to fight against. And so you're going in with the belief that you can win them, right? But you can see him though, or you can see her. You can see your enemy in that context. You can see them. And then now you begin to fight them, right? Physically. But in real life, you don't realize that your life is the boxing ring. And there is an enemy, but you can't see them though. And because you can't see them, you don't even know what you're fighting for. You don't even know that you need to fight. You don't even know that you need to have faith, because you don't see that there is actually an enemy in the ring with you called your life. And so the thing about it is that, but when you are a child of God, when you truly believe and you walk in his spirit, it doesn't matter. The enemy can be there all he wants. Absolutely. But there is more for you than there is against you. Right? There is always more for you than there is against you. That's the part, that's the mindset you have to take on though. That's the difference. Right? You have to go in knowing that he's there. You have to go in like knowing, oh, why do I feel this in my body? Why does this keep happening to me? Why am I having these cycles going on in my life? Why is it I cannot get to the next level? You have to go in knowing that he's there. Knowing, and he does not want your success. He does not want you to win. But when you know who you are, you know who you are in Christ, you know no weapon formed against you shall prosper, you're going to fight in faith. And you're going to move in anyways. And it's always going to cause you to win. But the reason for a lot of believers is that you don't even believe that it's been set up for you to win. And so as a result, because of that, that's why you don't try it again. That's why you give up when it's hard. That's why you don't change the strategy. That's why you don't begin to seek deliverance in different ways. It's the reason why, because you don't know that there's an enemy. Let me give you this example. 2 Kings 6, 17 through 18. And this is the story of Elisha. I'm paraphrasing. I wouldn't get to explain it very well, to be honest, because you have to read the whole thing. I encourage you to read the whole chapter. But this is 2 Kings 6, chapter 6, verse 17 through 18. And so it's like they were literally, Elisha, they were about to experience, they were about to go against an enemy, right? And so there was a servant that was with Elisha, and he didn't believe. He was struggling to believe. He felt like, man, this is too much against me. This is not working. It's too hard. And here's what it says. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. This is really significant, because I should have mentioned it before. In fact, let me take you a little bit higher. Because before this, they are about to be, it's like about going to war. They can literally see with their naked eye all these horses, all these people against them, right? And so then in verse 16, it says, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And then, like I mentioned, Elisha prayed. He said, open his eyes, and the Lord opened his eyes. And supernaturally, he could see that they were chariots of fire, of horses, on Elisha's side. And then in verse 18, it says, and they came down to him. Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness. And it says, and he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. So this was, so essentially it was showing that there was a supernatural army that was fighting on Elisha's side, and they won. They got the victory. They got the victory. You know, and so the issue, so now what could have happened is that Elisha could have stayed in the same place as the young man and said, like, you're right, there's a bunch of them. We about to lose this fight. Right? But no, he began to use his mouth. He opened his mouth. He prayed a prayer. He could see that there was more for them supernaturally. And he prayed a prayer and he said, God, smite them with blindness. He used the words of his tongue, and God began to fight his battles for him. And so some of us, the reason why you are stuck is that the words that you're using from your tongue are words of defeat, words of disappointment, words of discouragement. Oh, it's hard. Oh, it's not getting better. Oh, this is too difficult. Oh, nothing is going to change. You know, and you believe what you see. You believe what you see. And for me, I remember there was a point on many occasions, many occasions, where it's like God told me, Choma, you can believe. You can either believe, right? It's like the Holy Spirit was telling me this, actually. You can either believe what the enemy is showing you, or you can believe what God told you. I'm gonna say that one more time, because that's for somebody. You can either believe what the enemy is showing you, or you can believe what God told you. Which one are you gonna believe? Because you can only choose one. You can only choose one. And so for some of you, that's the question I want to ask you. Are you believing what the enemy has told you? Is that the reason why you haven't applied to the job? Is that the reason why you haven't applied for the LLC? Is that the reason why you have not moved? Is that the reason why you have not started the book? Is that the reason, what do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? Do you believe that God really does want you to prosper? Right today, not in 2 years, not in 10 years, not in 20 years, but today. It's all a matter of what you believe. And that takes me to number four. The fourth reason why you can't get your breakthrough is that you don't believe. You want to know one of the number one words in the Bible the word believe. One of the number one commands that Jesus said over and over again, believe. No, just believe me. No, believe and it will be well. Like over and over again, he said that all the time. Just believe. And for some of you, you don't believe. You don't truly believe. Because if it was in your shanana, okay, if you really believe, oh, you would act differently. You know you would act differently. You would respond differently. Think about, there's a story I heard. If I told you I was going to give you $1 million tomorrow, but you have to meet me at the top of the mountain, right? Some mountain that's, maybe the mountain's only a mile up. You'd be like, oh, I believe you. Like, I'm going. Like, you would have left at 5 a.m. and met me at the mountain and then collected $1 million. Because you believe. That's what then about, the great thing about children. Children, they believe what you say on first command. They believe you immediately. Like, oh, mommy, you said you were going to go to Disneyland. Are we going today? And then no, we're not going today. And then tomorrow comes. Mommy, are we going to Disneyland today? No, we're not going. Then the next day, no, we're not going. Oh, mommy, like, they believe. That's why you have to be careful what you tell children, because they will hold you to that word forever. And the Bible talks about having faith, like childlike faith. You know, and some of you, that's what you need to have. You need to have childlike faith where you operate from a place of expectation despite your disappointment. The enemy will come. The enemy is supposed to come. The enemy will always, he will come for a season, but he's supposed to be there. The issue is, do you believe that you're supposed to lose just because he's there? Just because he did come. Just because he did take him. He did take it. It did look like it's against you. What do you believe? And so that's one of the reasons why you can't break through. You don't really believe. I'm not going to pass this test. I'm not going to get into nursing school. I'm not going to become an engineer. I'm not going to become a doctor. Oh, my business is not really going to thrive. Oh, it's been too long. I'm not yet married. Or, you know what? My marriage is suffering. It's not going to get better. My kids are going crazy. I don't think my child's coming home. And so you don't believe. And because you don't believe, it reflects in your daily habits. What does your daily habits look like? What do your daily habits look like? Because your daily habits is what's going to produce and yield the level of harvest you desire for your life. It's going to be your daily habits. But you have to work on those habits every single day. You have to make a decision. You know, a lot of people, they want an overnight fix, but in reality, the people that you see that are on top is because of the daily habits they did every single day. And so even when it comes, this is to business owners as well, even when it comes to business and marketing, like, what you do every day in your business daily is what will yield the outcome that you desire, right? It's not once a week. That's why you can't just post on Instagram once a week or twice a week or something. No, what are you doing every day? That's why you can't just post on Facebook once a day. That's why you can't just go live once a week or once a month. It's the daily habits that will produce what you desire for it to produce. Right? Daily habits. Number five. Here's the fifth one. You don't trust nobody. You don't trust nobody. Say it one more time. You don't trust nobody. And if you really are bold, put in the comments and say, I have trust issues. I have trust issues. And there's different degrees of not trusting people. But the challenge is that some of you have to realize many times, every time God took me to a different place, he always brought somebody new into my life. And so a lot of times your breakthrough is in your divine helpers. There are divine connections. There's people that's been assigned to help you. But because of the spirit of offense, because you have trust issues, because of whatever it is, you don't trust people. And because you don't trust them, which I know things happen, but because you don't trust them, that's why you're not breaking through. Right? You become familiar with people around you. And because there's a spirit of familiar that you have with them, you don't seek them for advice. You don't think that they're your answer. You don't, you know, like, and so you're kind of comfortable around certain people. And so as a result, that's why you can't break through. That's why it requires elevation, promotion, whatever capacity that looks like, requires an element of humility, constant humility. Because it takes humility to ask for help. It takes humility to confess you even need help. It takes humility to realize that that things are not easy, and to say it out of your mouth and to allow somebody else to hear it too. My God in heaven. Divine connections. See that, put in the comments, God, send me my divine connections. Send me my divine connections. Because if whatever your breakthrough is looking like, that's going to result in your finances changing, your health changing, your career changing, oh, you need to pray for your divine connections. You need to be willing to accept whoever they are. And you need to allow, you know, scales to be removed off your eyes so you can see them as your divine connection. Right? You can see them as your divine connection. But a lot of us, because of our trust issues, we will just stay, let me just protect myself, trust nobody, and suffer. Right? And keep doing things on my own, doing it the way I'm used to doing it the way that I understand to do it, and I'm not going to trust nobody. And as a result, then you suffer. And you told yourself you're not suffering because you're just waiting for the promise. In reality, the promise is only going to come through very specific people in your life. I hope I'm talking to somebody today. Okay, so like you may have trust issues. And if you can't say what Tori said earlier, just put in the comments, I may have trust issues. All right? If you can't say what I told you to say earlier, put in the comments, I may have trust issues. I may have trust issues. All right, here's the last one. Here's a bonus one. All right. Is your prayer life doesn't match your mantle. I'm gonna say it one more time. Okay. Your prayer life does not match your mantle. What do I mean by that? So essentially, your prayer life doesn't match your mantle because, you know, Jesus said to, when right at the time when Jesus was about to be taken away, you know, to die on the cross and everything, it was in that moment when he asked three of his disciples to come with him. And they kept on falling asleep. And he said, could you not pray with me for an hour? Could you not pray with me for an hour during my most critical time, when I need you the most, when I'm suffering, right? I've been with you. I've seen you. I helped you. I walked with you. I taught you. You called me master. You see the bleeding, the blood sweating from my brow. But could you not pray with me for at least an hour? And some of you, your prayer life is not cutting to the level of your mantle. And because it's not at the same level, you pray 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, boom, you good. That's it. All right. Wake up, read the Bible, God, right? At night, you may go to sleep, tuck your head, and you may pray, God, please bless this, please do this, please do that. 15-minute prayers, you're done, right? And that's it. That's your whole prayer life, right? And so for the level of what's on you or who's around you, your prayer life has to go up. There has to be a higher dimension of how much and the quality of your prayers in order to experience your breakthrough. There has to be the quality of your prayers, not just quantity, because that's important too, but the quality, as far as what you pray, how you pray, when you pray, and etc., the quality has to arise. It has to go up. I remember earlier when the disciples said to Jesus, when they saw what he could do, and they're like, man, master, teach us how to pray. Like, because we don't got it. Like, we see you, Lord. Like, you with the miracles and everything, teach us how to pray. Because we're not tapping into anything over here. And so that's one of the things, too, that you have to ask for, is the Lord to teach you how to pray. Teach you how to pray. Teach you how to pray for your business. Teach you how to pray for your marriage. Teach you how to pray for your ministry. Teach you how to pray for your health. Teach you how to pray for your family, your friends, everything that's connected to you, your generation, your children. Lord, teach us how to pray. And so this is one of the things, too, is that your prayer life, if you want to break through, if you want your life to be easier than it is today, your prayer life has to match your mantle. There's like a saying that goes, if you want to live the, a life that is easy, man, I'm trying to remember exactly how it goes. Man, if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. There you go. All right, it's coming to me now. If you do what is easy, your life will be hard. See, this is how you know this is not scripted. Okay, so if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. But if you do what's hard, your life will be easy. One more time. If you do what is easy, your life will be hard. But if you do what is hard, your life will be easy, right? So essentially what you do privately, what you do in your own time will come and affect you publicly, right? It will affect your overall quality of your life. So if you want your life to be easy, if you want breakthrough, oh my goodness. The hard part is waking up at 3 a.m. to pray. The hard part is fasting when you don't feel like fasting. The hard part is doing another prayer and another prayer. That's the hard part. But if you want things to break through easily, quickly, fast, etc., your prayer life, it has to match your mantle, your calling, your purpose, the work on you. It has to be the same, if not more. And that's how you experience breakthrough. All right. Okay. So I pray that this blessed you. If this blessed you, you better share this broadcast, tell somebody about it. I pray this blessed you. Thank you so much for listening, for watching. If this word really blessed you, if you want to give, right? If you want to give, don't just walk away. Right, try to also be a giver as well, because the Bible talks about how when you give, right, it will come back to you. It talks about how, as well, the scripture Luke 6:38, and it talks about giving, right, and how the Lord will bless you through your giving. And so you don't have to give. There's no pressure to give, nothing like that. But I am a believer that when you are a giver, God will give you more than what you gave. And so you can go to the website, go to nursetrauma.com to give, and click on and go to the give. You can also give as well, $NurseTrauma or paypal.me/nursetraumaministries to give. And just, you can put a seed on it. You can call it a love offering. You can say, you know, you can call it your breakthrough seed, your deliverance seed, whatever it is. Even if it's just $5 or $500, whatever that looks like for you. You can also give as well as a sign of your gratitude for the word that God has penetrated into your heart through this broadcast. Amen. And the last thing as well is that if you find these teachings helpful, I have some great courses. You can always visit my website. Go to nursetrauma.com/courses, nursetrauma.com/courses, and you can take advantage of the courses that I have on there that will bless you, help you, shift you, and help you to go to another level, right? Whatever the course, whatever it is that you need understanding in, right? So visit the website, nursetrauma.com/courses, for more information about the courses. All right, so that was it. I hope this was a blessing to you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your support. Once again, like I said as well, same time tomorrow. I pray this blesses you, and I'll see you the next time. Take care.